For many years, I was pastor of a small church here in Edmonton, and I would preach most Sundays. During the coffee hour, much like what happens here, after I would preach, I would stand by the door and greet people as they left. And I would often hear the words, "Nice sermon, Pastor. Good sermon." Occasionally, I would be preaching from a portion of scripture that would be more challenging, let's say. We've likely heard a lot of them. Often they are Jesus' words. They get us to think differently. They upset our equilibrium. They challenge us. They might invite some cost to our faith. Once I preached a sermon like that, that invited people to radical generosity and giving. And it pushed people uncomfortably to think generously, over generously, about their finances. Comments at coffee hour were different that day. I remember one person coming and saying, "Well, that sermon was certainly interesting, Pastor." There are good sermons, and there are interesting sermons, but I never preached a sermon that made people want to drive me out of town and hurl me off a steep hill. Looking back on my preaching, I wonder if a lot of the "nice sermon, Pastor" comments were because my sermon was well received, that they were more safe, that they didn't venture too far out of the box. They validated what fit nicely into our understanding of faith and who God is. Safe, good, nice sermons. But the interesting sermons, the ones that put butterflies in my stomach, shook people up a bit, offered a larger view, invited discomfort, maybe, like I said, a cost to your faith. Maybe those were some of my best sermons. The ironic truth to a preaching ministry is that if a preacher does their job well, it might actually cost them their job. But if they coast, if they're nice, if they maintain status quo, they'll just keep getting a paycheck. There are nice, good sermons. There are interesting sermons. And then there are sermons that might get you driven out of town and thrown off a cliff. Have you heard a sermon like that lately? I have. Jeremy, last Sunday, preached on the first part of our story in the chapter in the book of Luke. He mentioned the sermon that went viral, sermon by Bishop Buddy, heard around the world that got people angry. It was a plea for mercy for those on the fringes, sharing much of the exact message that Jesus is preaching in the story we have today. One of the responses I saw on social media was a meme that just said, "There are no neutral pulpits." Preachers out there who endeavor to preach on the more interesting sermon side, who engage with the hard texts and challenging ideas, are in good company with Jesus. Here we are in Luke 4, Jesus preaching a sermon in his hometown, Nazareth. He had just read from the book of Isaiah deeply familiar words to the listeners that day, words of prophecy, words of hope, words of promise, that one day, a Messiah would come and bring good news to the poor, release for the captives, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the year of the Lord's favor. Good sermon. Nice sermon. Jesus then gives the bold pronouncement that today, this day, that scripture is being fulfilled. He is the one. He is the long-awaited, promised Messiah come to fulfill this scripture. What a good sermon. Nice sermon. Congregation smiling, attentive, on the edge of their seats. Good sermon. People nodding, proud of their hometown boy and who he was turning out to be. Jesus, the rising star. They'd heard stories about him, what he'd been doing out in the countryside. Their hometown boy, he turned water into wine. He was healing lepers, casting out demons, garnering attention and a following, a rising star. Surely if their boy, who they knew from a baby, was willing to peddle miracles out there on the fringes, wait till we see what he does back home amongst us, his people. He's come back home, our boy. Those in the synagogue that day considered themselves to be the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. The ones patiently waiting for the Messiah to extend God's favor to them. They were pleased to hear their homegrown boy announce good times were ahead for them. Good times ahead for them. But things take a turn. Jesus refuses to come home the way they expected. His good and nice sermon takes a turn, and we see how quickly people can move from admiration to anger when their expectations are not met. Essentially, Jesus says, I am not yours to claim. I am not yours to contain. I don't belong to you. I am not here to fit your preconceptions or to fulfill your expectations. Jesus goes on to proclaim that the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed include those outside the inner circle. The Gentiles, no less. Those who are far out on the fringes, they were the ones who could look forward to good times ahead. Not for us, but for them. Words that were completely unthinkable to those listening that day. Unthinkable, appalling, and offensive. The people did not grow angry that day because of who Jesus claimed to be. They grew angry that day because he took a great swing at their self-appointed divine privilege. He challenged their positions that they firmly sat in, believing they were the apple of God's eye. And Jesus uses their own scriptures to remind them and point out God's favor is for those on the fringes, beyond the borders. Elijah, remember? He helped the foreigner, even though there were plenty of widows in need on the inner circle. Elijah helped the foreigner. Elisha healed a much hated enemy, a Syrian commander, Naaman, even though there were many of God's people who were sick and needed to be cleansed. Elisha healed their enemy instead. Jesus reminded them that time and time again, God is found in the margins. He cannot be contained, controlled, or owned. Boxed in, domesticated, they don't own God. God is moving, seeking, and pressing out to the edges and beyond. He reminds them that the promise of God's blessing to Abraham was to extend to every nation and all people to the ends of the earth. Jesus did not belong to this hometown crew. He came for the whole world. We need to be careful when we start to think like this Nazarene crowd. Aren't we entitled to God's favor? Aren't we the recipients of God's blessing? Aren't we the ones on the inside? Us, me, we're the ones. The golden age for God's people is for us, and it is here and now. There's a saying about drawing lines that any time we draw a line for who's in and who's out, you'll find God on the other side of the line. This story and Jesus' sermon is about those on the other side of the line, the other. He takes their privilege on the inside, plucks it from them, and plops it way out to the lowest and the least and the furthest ones out there, the last, those the Nazarenes would ever expect to receive God's favor. That's not at all what they expected to hear from Jesus. They expected a good sermon, a nice sermon. But it soon became an interesting sermon, and then a sermon that made them want to take him to the edge of a cliff and throw him off. The Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor tells about a retreat she once attended, and the leader in that small group retreat asked those who were gathered there to think of one person in their life who represented Christ really well. And one by one, they went around and they thought of significant people in their lives. Someone spoke of a person who showed up for them in the hardest of times. Someone showed up, talked about someone who had been a shining light for them, an encourager, and spoke wisdom and offered good direction. Someone else talked about someone who was a faithful companion and stayed with them through all the years. And then one person thought for a while and then said, "You know, I keep thinking, who is it in my life who's told me the truth about myself so clearly that I wanted to take them to the edge of a cliff and pitch them off?" This was not a nice, good sermon. It was not even an interesting sermon. This sermon nearly got Jesus killed. It got him thrown out, driven out of his hometown by his own people. The people that loved him and helped raise him. The people that knew him from a boy. As though this strong reaction came as no surprise to Jesus, we come to the text that shares his response. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't fight back or press back into his hometown. He doesn't put in a huge effort to maintain his place in the inner circle. He doesn't even condemn them. He shakes the dust from his feet, and by some wondrous mystery, he just passes through them and goes on his way. And this story takes place early in the gospel. We find that as he goes on his way, the rest of his ministry unfolds. From here, Jesus leaves his hometown, and he continues on with his public ministry, from which the rest of the gospel unfolds. We read story after story. One commentator pointed out that this is the day that Jesus became homeless. This is the day that he became homeless and remained homeless throughout his public ministry. As far as we know, he never returned back home again. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts to reach out to what Jesus might be saying to us today, us who are on the inside, what he might be saying to us today about those who are on the outside. May we align well with the good news of great joy to all people. Amen.